when you buy a device that requires to be connected to the current in order for it to be used, let's say this device was designed for that purpose, to use it. Buying something that you require and keeping it there without using it is not a good option. It's not the best option. And when you let it go for a while without using it, it will most likely be damaged. Now, I don't know if it had happened to you, but when we buy something to use and that has been programmed, it has been designed to be used, when you keep it there resting for some time, let's say long enough, and when we feel that we need it, we are going to use it, it's damaged. And the question is, but if I never used it, why is it damaged? I think I'm not the only one this has happened to. I think it has happened to you, right? We began to think that by not using it, by having it stored there, it should be okay. Until the moment we went to use it. But it is not like that. Its parts were created to exert pressure, to exert it under movement, and therefore the lack of the use, it damaged it. I know that we can smile and we can say, but we don't see any meaning in it. But that's the way it is. You know, that's how it happens in life too. God has given us gifts. He has given us talents, for which some were born with. For others, they have to study and work on it. But in short, each one of us has something special that God has given to us. When you receive Christ in your heart, you realize that you were created with a purpose. And from that purpose to be fulfilled, God gave you gifts, gave you talents, very important talents, which can make a difference in the place where you are and with the people you are. But having them hidden there and stored there, perhaps thinking that this is how you are going to keep them and they will not wear out, is a serious mistake. Because for that, God created them, designed them, and gave them to you so that you can use them in favor of others. I recently heard a phrase from someone who said, is that grace has many forms. And this reminded me of this biblical text, which is in the book of 1 Peter in chapter 4, verse 10. I want to read it to you, where the Apostle Peter, after indicating everything that the Lord had given us and the importance of seeing life is in a different way, not as the world taught us to see it, but from the perspective of God. He reminds us that for a long time, we already live according to this world. We have. Or it is important to renew our thoughts and see life as God sees it now, according to how we see life, and that way we are going to live it. And throughout this chapter 4 of 1 Peter, he begins to explain and remind us everything that Christ lived and the wonder of his love and giving himself to others. Then in verse 3, he says, enough of the past time to have done what pleases the world, walking in lust, drunkenness, orgies, dissipations, and adultery, and everything that led you to perdition, that took you away from God. Peter said, you have already gone through that time because you want to continue living it. You did not find anything there. You wasted time when you were really living the correct life, the life that comes from the Lord. Now, he says someone is going to judge you because all who are attached to the system of this world will want to live under that same system. And when you receive the truth of God that makes you free, you begin to see things, to question them, and to realize what the world taught you for so many years was not really the right thing, or the truth that was always in Jesus Christ. And that truth has set you free. Some will judge you, and finally many things are not going to be as before. The important thing is that your life begins to change. It is a transformation that begins to occur in you from inside out. That is why he also teaches us that after having received that truth, we must understand that we are administrators of something so wonderful, so precious and important to God, such as his grace. And when we talk about grace, I am not talking about making you laugh or about a moment of happiness. I am talking about the manifestation of the power of God in us, so that this life we can do what in our strength we can never do. So everything we have and receive, we receive by grace. That is a great blessing. Now, the next question is, what am I going to do with what the Lord has given me? What am I going to do with what I have received by grace? Precisely speaking of this, Jesus, in some of his teachings, he sits talking with the crowd. He begins to speak of a parable that perhaps you have known. It is called the parable of the talents. In this parable, Jesus refers to grace, the gift given by God, to three people in whom he trusted at a certain moment, so that they would multiply it, or at least place it to produce it. Thus, he used the story of a king who leaves and calls three of his workers and gives them a certain amount of money. He does not give all the same amount because, among other things, God knows to what extent we can be responsible. And he gives us according to our ability. If God had called you, if you have received a ministry, a talent, something from God, it is because he created you, designed you, and within you put the ability to develop it. Many times fear is what we see ahead of us. The struggles we have on a daily basis may lead us to think that we are not going to move forward. Of course, that is going to happen. But then it is there that we have to remember the trust we have in the Lord. And that everything we have after world is not from us. It is from him. And think of it this way. If it is from him and he gave you the one who is going to support you the most, but the one who gave you everything, this man is going on a trip. He gives these three people different amounts of money. He tells them, I hope that when he returns, they have done something with this. The first one, according to the Bible, had received five talents. He multiplied it. He put it to produce. He understood that if they gave him the talent, then he would also have the ability to manage it. So he did not stay with them. The Bible does not specify what he did. But when the man returned to ask for accounts, this man did not give him five. The same five he had received, he gave him 10. The other who had received three gave him 6. And there was another to the one he had given one. Now the fact of having only one talent does not mean that it is the most insignificant or the least important. They all received the same responsibility. Each had different capacities. But the fact of receiving it means that responsibility and trust had been given. Let's say that due to the many pressures of life, that man thought that instead of putting him to produce, and that if he had received it from the Lord, he would also support him. He forgot of all that he allowed himself to be filled with fear, and therefore he hid it, buried it. And when the man came to ask for results, he gave him the same talent. The annoyance of that, Lord, is that he had not understood the message, nor his mission on earth. He hadn't understood the importance of what had been delegated to him. You know, when we allow ourselves to be carried away by the pressures of life, we forget that the Lord gave us life itself as a gift. And with it, he gave us gifts and talents. And that sometimes we can be in the position of this person to bury them, have fear, and put them to produce. And not to put them into produce, that cost him. Because even what he was taking away from him that it was the Apostle Peter there in chapter 4 of 1 Peter in verse 10 tells us, each one according to the gifts he has received, minister it to others as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. And that is why I told you that when I heard the phrase grace has many forms, I understood and I went to this text. We are administrators, and an administrator does not own what he manages. He knows that he has to report, but also the level of trust that is given to him, given to develop what was given to him far above what they think around him. He was given a responsibility, and that means that he received trust. The Bible said that we must be good administrators. But how we are going to become administrators, we have to understand first that it is not ours. Second, what was given to us is not about enriching ourselves or taking personal advantage of it, but it has been given by God to bless others. The word ministering to others means serve it to others. In another way, I receive a reward, well, let's say it's a plus or it's an addition, but that is not the motivation with which we should do it, since we have been given a grace as a part of God. That is an ability that comes from God to be able to do something that others cannot, but that God delegated it to you. Now you can understand that there is a purpose, and that in the midst of that most complicated situations in life, there is an opportunity. God thought of you. That's why you have life today. And look what he gave you. The question is, are you going to let yourself be absorbed by the difficulties of life? Are you going to let yourself be absorbed by the pressures of life? Or by what others think? Or are you going to understand that God designed you with a purpose and that he is calling you? And if you have accepted his call, you have to remember that he was the one who called you, not man. And if he gave you something, you are qualified to carry it out. Do not bury it. Do not keep it. You know that the Apostle Paul, one of his faithful disciples, who he loved so much, named Timothy, a boy who decided to be a pastor from a young age. One of the advice that Paul gave him before death, almost saying goodbye, he said, live in the gift that was given to you. When I pray for you, Paul did not tell him to keep it. I have it there at the moment. You least expect it will come out. No, Paul said, live in that word. And live in means put it into practice. Do not leave it hidden, because that is why the Lord gives it to you. So if you do not exercise what the Lord gave you, you will forget it. It will stay there. And perhaps someone else will take advantage of what the Lord gave you. Ask yourself if God gave it to you, something he placed in you. So you have his call, and you have to do it. And you have his support. Today I am talking to you and living what the Lord gave you. And if in some moment you said that the inspirations left me, or it burned me so much that I already left, I could not. Today I encourage you to draw strength from God. Make God your main source of life. When you understand him like this, that life will express itself. You will not be afraid, because you will look at the sky and say, I will lift my eyes to the mountains. Where will my help come from? My help comes from the Lord who made heaven and earth. So, my beloved friend, there is hope. Do not turn back. Do not look back. Today, there is a new opportunity. I invite you to trust in what God gave you. Trust in the Lord, who was the one who gave it to you. And he will give you the wisdom, the strength, and the skill to carry it out. Father, I thank you for your words. Thank you, Lord, because your blessings are new every day, and you are the one who sustains us. Thank you, dear Father, for your fidelity. Thank you for your reminding us that you have always been there. and that you are our support, that apart from you, we can't do anything. Today I put, Lord, this time in your hands, and I pray for each person who receives this word so that they can remain in you, Lord. In the name of Jesus, help them so that they can live in what you gave them. That today we can remember that we are not in this world to fill a space. You have given us hope. You have given us life. And most importantly, we know that apart from you, we can do nothing. In the name of Jesus, thank you, Lord. Amen and amen. This was a translation from your pastor and friend, Elias Hoyos. Remember, God always arrives just in time.